Thanks everyone coming out this Sunday afternoon. Spanish Fork, Utah. This is our email address if you have comments, correspondence, and feedback. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C., Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder and chair of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Maganath Yumanandasya, Yanangana Sarathya, Tatsurim Militam Yanatashmai, Sri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Tapitam Yana Bhutai, Sayam Rupa Karamayam, Dadati Swaha Parantikam. We entitled our talk today, It's All Good, It's All Good. Okay, so no matter how successful we are in life, we're going to face challenges, reversals. There's going to be struggles, things that do not go our way. But our message today is that God has an overall plan. You might not be privy to all the details of that plan, but if you trust Him, you'll find meaning, not just when everything's going your way and turning up roses, but perhaps even more so, you'll find meaning when things are coming against you, meaning in adversity. And Krishna consciousness, struggles strengthen us rather than weaken us or cause us to fall apart. Why? Because Vedaham Samadhitani Vartamani. God or Krishna knows everything. He knows past, present, and future. Maybe that girl you just had to marry, some other, she wrote you a Dear John letter. Your heart was broken. Your plans were foiled. You don't know how you could live without her. Fast forward 30 years, she's been divorced 3 times. You married a girl who is much plainer, but you've deeply grown to love her, and you say, Krishna, thank you. That was a close one. Krishna knows your life from beginning to end. He knows where the dead ends are up ahead. And He also knows where the shortcuts are to get you to where you need to go. Life is full of things that we don't like. Adversities, disappointments, betrayals by those who are close to us, backstabbing. At work, you didn't get the promotion that you were qualified for. A door slams in your face. Normally, without seeing the all-powerful, benevolent hand of God working behind the scenes, we classify all these things as negative setbacks. We think it's bad because it didn't work out my way. It's bad because my prayers didn't get answered. We get discouraged. We lose our passion. But here's our message today. Krishna, God, would not have allowed that adversity unless He knew a way to use it for your own good. And what that means is that everything that happens in life, though we may not understand it, if we keep the right attitude, that adversity is going to end up pushing us further into our destiny. That adversity is going to end up strengthening us. Closed doors, the delays, the people that did you wrong. Krishna says, it's all good. I'm in control. It may not feel good right now in the moment, but Krishna is saying to you today that if you trust Him, He knows how to use it. Even that which was meant for your harm, He knows how to use it for your good. And when you understand this principle, you'll live your life with a lot less frustration. It will be much, much liberating. 5-year-old boy named Prahlad, as the story tells us in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was a devotee of Krishna, chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. His father was just the opposite, an atheistic demon. It got to the point his father so much resented his young 5-year-old boy chanting Hare Krishna, the father tried to kill him, tried to kill his own son. Gave him poison, threw him in a pit of cobras, threw him over a cliff, put him underneath the feet of a war elephant. So would you agree with me that this probably qualifies as an adverse situation for the 5-year-old boy? Anyone disagree? It doesn't get more adverse than this, right? And yet in all of that, Prahlad didn't see in the natural that this man is mature, he's a seasoned warrior. In fact, he conquered the universe and I'm just an immature child. He didn't see things in the natural. He saw that behind the scenes, God is always working. And you and Krishna are always a majority. Doesn't matter what's lined up against you. You and God are always a majority. So in all of those tribulations, during all of those attempts on his life, Prahlad never lost his cool, he never lost his composure. In all of that, Prahlad saw that nothing works without the ultimate direction of Krishna. Even in an adverse condition, he did not lose his composure, he did not give away to despair or desolation, because he knew that there is no plan, there's no harm, there's no weapon launched towards us which is outside of the plan of the Lord. What's happening may not be the Lord's best plan for us. What's happening may be our karma coming back to us from bad choices that we've made. Still, nothing gets away from the Lord. You know when you have the GPS and you make a wrong turn? What do you hear? Whenever possible, turn right. That the GPS, God's positioning system, will make the corrections and get you back on course, even if you yourself were the cause of the adverse situation in the first place. So why not take adversities as the direct mercy of God? This is the symptom of a devotee. Tate nu kampam sushamina mano punjani bat mikriyam vibhagmo povadir jivet yo mukti parisadoyva. What is the mentality of someone who is eligible to be liberated from the samsara, the cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age? How is it that one can be serene and poised in all circumstances? This is the thinking. Whatever is happening to me, whatever is happening to me, it might be cancer, it might be the loss of a loved one, it might be unemployment, whatever, that which other people would be called tragic, for other people, they would be finished. That's all she wrote. It's the end of the line. How does a devotee think? If I were to receive the full fruits of my past activities, it would be much, much worse. Whatever it is, I deserve much, much worse. And what's happening to me is just a token. Krishna has just given me a little pinprick as a reminder to get back on course and make better decisions. One rejoices and one thanks the Lord, even in the midst of those that others would call life-ending, catastrophic reverses. Anyone who thinks in this way, that whatever is happening to me right now is simply a token, that soul is going back to home, back to Godhead at the end of this life. Jibeti yo mukti pada sadayama. How does that translate into our life? Our Father's not trying to poison us. Anybody? I hope not. I don't think we're facing as adverse a situation as Prahlad Maharaj. But what about that co-worker at the office who's always playing politics? Doesn't invite you to meetings, speaks bad, lies about you behind your back. Does that upset you? Or do you know it's all good? Krishna allowed it. He's going to use it. Maybe that business that you were hoping to start up, you tried, but it didn't make it. That dream that you've had for a long time, it just seems like there's too much stacked up against it. It's not happening right now. Still, it's all good. Why? Because it's part of the process. Maybe I'm not ready to handle the fulfillment of that dream right now. Krishna's not denying it. He's putting it off. You all have kids. How often have you told the child, not yet? Child wants something. Not yet. You didn't deny it. You didn't say no, never. You just said, not yet. What you're saying is, I'm prepared to give it to you. It's not a problem. But if I gave it to you now, it wouldn't be good for you. So be patient. And when you grow, I'll be more than happy to give it to you. So this is what Krishna is saying sometimes when we don't accomplish our dreams on our timetable. Or even smaller, more annoying, trivial things, like getting stuck in traffic. You're not going to get frustrated. God's doing a work in me. He's teaching me patience. I'm not going to let this delay ruin my day. Or what if I'd taken another route, I hadn't got stuck in traffic, and what if I was flying down the freeway at 80 miles an hour and got into an accident? Maybe Krishna's saving me from that fatal accident by sticking me in this traffic jam right now. How about that? Whatever it is, keep the right perspective, knowing that it's all good. It all just boils down to trusting God. We're not going to understand everything that happens. If you're going to try to figure out everything, see what God's up to, you're just going to get frustrated. Krishna sees the big picture, and sometimes for our own good, he'll close doors that we prayed would open because he knows it's going to be a waste of time. When you're mature in spiritual life, instead of getting bitter and resentful when things don't work out, you just simply take a nice deep breath and say, Krishna, I trust you. I may not like it, but I do believe that you know what's best for me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. And as you keep doing the right thing, keeping your mouth shut, taking the high road, being respectful, God is doing a work in you. You couldn't develop your character without things coming against you. It may not feel good, it may not look good, but it is all good, getting you ready for the next level. Krishna is asking you tonight, do you trust him with the closed doors? Do you trust him with the unanswered prayers, with the things you don't understand? Can I tell you, God's ways are better than our ways? Have you ever heard this poem? The Lord moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm, deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill. He treasures up his bright designs and works his never-failing will. Ye fearful saints, press courage, take the clouds you so much dread, are full with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet, sweet, sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. The right way to navigate the waters of life is to say, Krishna, be bold, don't be shy. Tell Krishna what you want. Tell Krishna what you're believing for. But also qualify that by saying, if something else is better for me and you see that, don't give me what I'm asking for. Give me what you know is better for me. The patient may go to the doctor and say, Doctor, I'm sick, I've got all these symptoms, but whatever you do, don't cut chocolate out of my diet. Well, if the doctor just wants your money and he's not really interested in your well-being, he'll say, fine, we'll work around that. But if the doctor really wants to get you well, he's going to deliver you the hard truth that you have to not eat chocolate for the next little bit. When we pray, Krishna, this is what I want, this is what I'm believing for, but I know that you know better than me what's good for me. And when you develop this trust, learn to let go and let God, knowing that it's all good. If the door opens, you thank him. If the door closes, what do? You thank him. Very, very good. Whatever happens, you say it's all good. And when things are going good, things are rolling the way we want them to, as I think you'll agree to, it's easy to feel blessed. It's easy to give praise. God is great. It's easy to chant Hare Krishna when we're in a comfortable temple surrounded by affluent people in a friendly congregation on Sunday afternoon with a beautiful mountain panorama around us and a good meal awaiting us in about 20 minutes. But it may be another thing altogether to trust Krishna when we find ourselves living in a family which is dysfunctional. A family within the walls of which there's always strife, there's always discord, there's always disharmony. It may not be quite so easy to praise and to thank Krishna when we number ourselves among the unemployed, or to thank him in the aftermath of a divorce, or a crippling injury, or a mental handicap. It's not easy to trust Krishna and have a joyful attitude when our life is cut short by the diagnosis of a terminal disease. It's not easy to praise Krishna when we're old and alone, put on a shelf in a rest home, hardly ever visited by family and friends. It's not easy to praise Krishna or God when our waking life is as much of a nightmare as our dreams. Well, here's a key. There's overlap between adversity and blessings. You can't see where one stops and the other one starts. They're mingled together in one harmonious pattern. The only thing we can do is just praise Him. Praise Him in the good times. Praise Him in the bad times. You all know Helen Keller, right? He was blind, deaf, mute. Here's what Helen Keller said. You think you have it rough? Here's what Helen Keller said. She says, I am so thankful for my handicaps. For through them, I found myself, my work, and my God. She says, all things, not just some things, but she says, all things work together for good, for those who love the Lord. It may not seem good at the time. It may be painful to go through a loss. It hurts when our best friends stab us in the back. It's discouraging when a dream doesn't work out. By itself, it may not seem good. By itself, it may not be good. But think of cooking. Think of recipes. Has anybody ever tasted turmeric? Just right out of the bottle. And yet turmeric used in the right proportion, along with the other ingredients, makes wonderfully delicious and tasteful and nourishing and healthful finished products. You see, things separately may not be so palatable. But Krishna promises that He's the expert chef. He's going to throw in some of this and some of that and some of this. Any one of those might be terribly bitter in and of itself. But when Krishna uses it in the right proportions and cooks it for the proper amount of time, the end result is going to be so relishable. All those things that you ranted and raved about and you clenched your fist and you said, why, Lord, why me? Time will come, if you stay in faith, you'll look back and you'll understand how Krishna knew exactly what He was doing. One poet said, my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors, but He worketh perfectly. Not till the loom falls silent and the shuttle ceases to fly will Krishna unroll the canvas and reveal the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as are the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that He has planned. I heard a story about this couple. They volunteered for many years selflessly at the hospital. They'd go visit people, encourage them, oftentimes bring gifts to them. One day the man parked his car across the street and he was going across, and a man came around the corner, a pickup truck, going far faster than speed limit allowed, didn't respect the crosswalk, hit this man. He went up over the hood, he flipped, and he landed on his head behind the car. Fortunately, he was just a few steps from the emergency entrance to the hospital. So they took him in, they rushed him in. They discovered that he had bleeding on his brain. Then they thought, maybe we should take a full body scan to see if there was any other injuries, any other broken bones, or any other internal bleeding. They didn't notice any of that. But when they took the full body scan, they noticed a metastatic tumor on his kidney. So they took care of the bleeding in the brain. In the meantime, they biopsied that tumor and found it was extremely harmful, malign. So then they followed the brain surgery with the surgery to remove the kidney, and everything went fine. Today, he's cancer-free. Before they discharged him from the hospital, the doctor told him that had they not found that tumor, there was a good chance he would not have lived another 8 weeks. It was already poised to spread throughout his entire body. Interesting, isn't it, that what started out as a horrible car accident, which we would have immediately rushed to label as tragic, unfortunate, unlucky, in fact, turned out to be a life-saving incident. Now let's review our options. Things come up against us. What are the different ways that we can react to adversity? We can ignore it. That's not going to make it go away. Ignoring it, pretending it doesn't exist, sticking your head in the sand. So that's not a very good option. We could resent it. Oftentimes when we worry and we resent and we talk about an adversity and have a pity party and moan and groan and get on your cell phone and talk to all our friends, we work ourselves up into a state of anxiety, of stress, of frenzy, of high blood pressure. Oftentimes the worrying is more harmful than that which we worry about. If you take that road, you're likely to do yourself a whole lot more harm than the original adversity would have ever done. Thirdly, we could judge ourselves and judge others by saying, oh, I got what I deserved, or they got what they deserved. What would you expect if you lived that sort of a lifestyle? But that just means you're going around judgmental, critical, always thinking the worst of people, burdened with guilt. We could complain, we could grumble, we could gripe about adversity. But that's certainly not going to make us happy, because the words that come from your mouth, they attract certain things. So if you talk about negativity and despondency and complaining, that's going to attract more of those things into your life. That's like sending out invitations for those things into your life. Now here's a fifth alternative. Don't let any set of circumstances or anyone coming against us rob us of our essential hope in the omnipotency of the Lord and our faith from Him. Keep connected to Him under all times, all circumstances. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Why does that make the most sense? Because Krishna or God is the only source of transcendent help that can get us through the adversity. And not just get us through the adversity, but for those who pass the test, Krishna promises He'll take you out on the other side of that adversity twice as good off as you were before. When we praise God in adversity, even if that adversity is self-created, even if we're getting the karmic reaction to bad decisions that we've made in the past, the tendency to place our adversity into the hands of a loving, caring God who alone has the power to transform evil into good makes all the sense in the world. Millions and millions of people of faith throughout thousands and thousands of years, were they here today, they would tell you that praising God in adversity is the only sensible answer to adversity. It can work, and it will work, and it has worked thousands and thousands of times. Friends, it's all good. Even things that at the time seem bad. Doing a good deed at the hospital, getting hit by a car. Most people would say, boy, are you ever unlucky. Too bad for you. But Krishna doesn't allow anything that He can't bring good out of. We may not always see it. We may be thinking, true, my adversities haven't done anything to promote me. They've only pulled me down. Well, maybe you haven't seen the good yet, but you don't know what Krishna's up to. What Krishna's doing behind the scenes. And what about your attitude? Maybe Krishna's sending the answer. He's sending the angels. But now He's listening to the negativity that's coming out of your mouth. And He's saying, hold up a second. I don't think there's much faith there. I don't think there's much trust there. Let's wait until we hear some positive. Let's wait until we hear some prayers coming in. Then the angels can finish their journey towards Him. And maybe in many areas, things are unresolved. They have not come together as you had hoped they would have come together by this time in your life. That's where faith comes in. That's where it's important to dig in your heels and not get discouraged. To know that Krishna, God, knows what he's doing. Our job is not to figure everything out. It's not to hurry God along. We're just here to keep honoring him, to keep being our best with the faith that God can and will open doors that no man will shut. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Nothing happens to us, everything happens for us. If you want to start living your best life, then you need to remember these words. It's all good. In the great epic, the Ramayana, Ram, he never thought ill of anybody. He never committed a sin, even in his mind, in his life, and through no fault of his own. The day before he was to be coronated the king, due to a palace conspiracy, he was sent off to the forest for 14 years in exile. So heartbroken was his father, Dasarath, being forced to send his son to exile by a promise that he'd made his co-wife. Dasarath died a few days later. Though Ram was in exile, he was a few days out from the palace. He'd made camp, and his older brother, Bharat, came to him with lots of soldiers and lots of citizenry from Ayodhya. Bharat broke the news to Ram that our father, Dasarath, has died in separation from you. So what would we have done getting this news like a thunderbolt? We would have lost it. We would have broken down. But Ram thought of others. He did not think of himself. He knew it wasn't about us. It's about others. So he tamped down his natural outpouring of grief. And he began to preach to Bharat and the thousands and thousands of people were there. I like to think of this as the Ramayana's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Ram says, we all are forced to act according to higher powers, fate and destiny and time. In this world, Ram says, the embodied soul is dragged here and there by the all-powerful force of destiny and karma and providence. No one can control, ultimately, the forces that push us here and there. He says, all games will end in loss. Every meeting ends in separation. And every birth comes to the moment of death. For a ripe fruit, Ram says, there's only one future. The ripe fruit will fall. And for one who is born, there's only one outcome. That is death. All these thousands of people are listening with big ears and rapt attention, you could hear a pin drop. Ram went on to say, the passing of our days and nights quickly exhausts our lifespan, just as the summer sun sucks up the water in a lake. And then he says very pointedly to his brother, let's not grieve for others. Rather, let us grieve for ourselves. Death is our constant companion. Death walks with us. Death sits with us. Death goes with us when we go out, and death returns with us when we come back. All of us have embarked on the very same path that has been trodden by our Father, and we will all join him in due course. Let us therefore throw off grief and dedicate ourselves to the pursuit of piety, by which we too shall attain the blessed regions reached by the king. And Ram looks around. Thousands of people are crowding. There was complete silence. Even the birds were not twittering. Even the river was not guzzling. There was not even the rustling of the leaves in the trees. And it says that with a mild smile, very self-controlled and self-contained, Ram concludes his teaching to Bharat and by proxy to the thousands of people. Father has shed his old and worn out body, and now with an ethereal, heavenly, spiritual, undecaying form, he sports in great happiness. Rather than grieve for him, we should follow his orders and do his bidding as his faithful sons. Bharat, you go back to Ayodhya, and you rule the earth in my place. I, in my turn, according to the promise I've made to my father, I will remain in the forest until 14 years have expired. This way, our mutual benefit and ultimate eternal existence will be assured in this world and the next. Under no circumstances should we disobey our father. When Ram stopped speaking, Bharat grasped Ram's lotus feet, and he said these words, "Your position, O mighty brother, is glorious. You are never dejected by adversity nor exhilarated at finding joy. You are always able to distinguish truth from untruth, spirit from matter, light from darkness." All those bad breaks that Ram experienced, all the bad breaks that you have experienced in your life, can I tell you, it's all part of a plan for Krishna to get you to where you're supposed to be. That betrayal felt bad, but the truth is, it was good. It was another step on the way to your destiny. It was wrong. You didn't like it. But looking back now, you wouldn't change a thing. Why? Because without that betrayal, without that disappointment, you would not have become the person that you're created to be. And here's another quick thought. Sometimes your enemies will do more to promote you than your friends. Your enemies don't realize that Krishna is using them to light a fire on the inside of you. Your enemies sometimes incite you to pray bold prayers, to declare Krishna's favor, to persevere, to stay focused and fight the good fight of faith. Your enemies meant to discourage you, but actually Krishna used it for your own good. In 1975, I was president of the Krishna Temple in Berkeley, California. Part of the duties of the temple president there is to carry on the annual chariot festival in Golden Gate Park, which was started by Prabhupada in 1968. So I was organizing the chariot festival. It was 1977. We were gathered. The parade was about to begin from the Japanese tea gardens. I'd hired a bagpipe band to go ahead of the parade. So I happened to hear one member of the bagpipe band speaking to another one. "How come we end up playing for the lunatic fringe?" And the other guy said, "I don't know. I guess the money of the Hare Krishnas is just as green as anybody else's." So I wasn't meant, obviously, to hear that little repartee, but something solidified in my heart. Something happened. Something calcified. Then and there, I said, "I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to making ignorant people like this eat their own words and choke on them." So this temple, built from the ground up, is at least partially inspired by those jerks. I mean, misinformed people. The temple built from the ground up in Salt Lake City is partly as a result of the reaction that I had to their insensitive, ignorant words. The largest color festival in North America, we just had 10,000 people here last week. And all the things that we may do in the future is my way of saying to you, buddy, I thank them. If I ever meet them, I'll do something nice for them. Maybe take them out for a Impossible Burger or something, because they did us a favor. Now, this is why we praise Krishna in adversity, because in doing so, we present to Krishna our adversities, asking him to transform them into good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One last quick story here, and I know we're running a little late. This is Vritasora. Talk about adversity. Talk about an unfair situation. He was a devotee of Krishna, living on the heavenly planets. He happened to be flying over Shiva and Parvati. Shiva was discussing philosophy with Parvati, who was sitting on his lap. And Chitraketu laughed. It wasn't a laugh of derision. He was so impressed that Lord Shiva, with the most beautiful female in the entire universe, sitting on his lap, could remain stone cold sober and discuss philosophy. So his laugh was just a laugh of appreciation, but Parvati misunderstood it, and she cursed him to be cast down and take birth amongst the demoniac species of life. So recognizing that, Vritasura did not have a pity party. He did not talk about unfairness. He did not cast blame. What he did was he went about his business of terrorizing the universe, catalyzing, precipitating the time when he would be killed by God's arrangement and then go back to his devotional activities. And finally, Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, who wields the thunderbolt, was called together with Brahma and the other demigods. He was given an infallible weapon. He was promised by none other than Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that if he would confront Vritasura in single combat, that he would be victorious, that in fact Vritasura was already conquered by the will of the Lord. Over and above all of that, Vritasura wanted to be killed. He wanted to give up his body so he could finish up the results of the curse and resume his devotional service. But nevertheless, when Indra appeared before Vritasura, who was this huge, monstrous figure with his head touching the clouds and all, Indra, in spite of all these assurances, lost his heart. He began trembling. He became emasculated and unmanned. Vritasura started talking to Indra, encouraged him, giving Indra a pep talk. Vritasura saying, wait a minute, you've got all the cards. You're assured of victory. I'm at a disadvantage here. I'm a demon. I want to die. I'm praying for my own death. So why am I happy and joyful and you are morose? This is not the way things should be. So take heart, throw your thunderbolt. I assure you that it will kill me, and then good will be done to you, good will be done to me, and good will be done to the entire universe. So what are we saying? It's all good. It may not look good right now. It may not make sense on its own. But Krishna knows how to bring it all together. What you think is going to stop you, what you think is going to set you back, what you think is going to cause you heartache, can I tell you, if you keep God first place, if you stay in faith, one day you'll look back and you'll say, this was good. You may not be able to see it right now, but one day I predict that you will. When Krishna vindicates you, when he heals you, promotes you, restores you, when he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy, when he pays you back double for all the difficulties, that's when defeat turns into victory. It is said, if you're dismayed by a problem that never seems to end, be encouraged, on the other hand, by a strength that never fails. We're asking you this afternoon to trust him. It might be a dark day in your life, not arguing that. There might not be any reason right now to call it good, but can I say, don't worry. Light is coming. Krishna is still on the throne. Krishna is that strength who will never fail us. Krishna can give us the tools to accomplish any task. He can give us the stamina and the courage to endure any suffering. Krishna can give us the light to find our way in the most dense and dread-filled darkness. Krishna will give us the key that can unlock any door, and especially the door to the spiritual kingdom of God, the door to a life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Therefore, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, praise the Lord by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Stay in faith. New beginnings are on the way. A restoration is in your future. Krishna would not have allowed that adversity if it wasn't going to move you forward. Everything that you thought was meant to stop you, Krishna's going to use it to push you forward. He's bringing it all together right now for those who keep him first place. The critics, the enemies, the setbacks are all mixing together to take you further, faster, and farther than you could have ever imagined in this life, next life, back to home, back to Godhead. Thanks very much for your kind attention. If you resonated with that message, you're invited to raise your hands in the air with me and say together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.